I've written on the board, withdraw apart. I'd like to read a passage in the fifth chapter of Luke tonight. Desire your prayers that this message would be an encouragement to us and a challenge. In the fifth chapter of Luke and the 12th verse, it says, "And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." And this 16th verse is what I would like to focus on this evening. "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." Seemed like there was so much to consume. It didn't seem like it. There was. There was so much to consume Jesus' time, his energy, his thoughts, his strength. And he could have allowed the cares and the duties of life. The press said that the multitudes, this isn't the only time we read this, that the multitudes came in and pressed upon where Jesus was. And it seemed like that if he wasn't careful, he could allow the press, if you will, all of the things that are in the world around that press upon us, he could have allowed that to control his time and to control his purpose, to consume his mind, to consume his heart, if you will. And they were good things. They weren't bad things. The Lord was doing his work. He was doing the work of his Father that sent him. It was a good thing. And yet, he gave an example here that I want to learn from. He proactively withdrew apart from all of it. He didn't wait for the multitudes to withdraw. He didn't say, you know, I think before I try to withdraw apart and spend some time with the Father, I will wait until the press is gone and the multitudes are gone and the cares of life subside. Do the cares of life ever subside? Does the press ever entirely leave? Do the responsibilities of life just ever really go away? No, they don't. It's like those things are always there. They're always pressing in on us. Sometimes worse than others. Sometimes it feels like we get a reprieve. You know, the scripture said, "He maketh us to lie down in green pastures." It said, "He maketh." Sometimes I wonder if the Lord causes us sickness sometimes to force us to lie down, because we are so much on the go and our minds are so consumed, and you don't have to try for your mind to be consumed. You just go out and live life and the rest of it will do it for you. It comes to you. And that's what was happening with Jesus, the multitudes. I mean, he was doing wonderful things, and his fame, it said, went out abroad. And so then all these people just started flocking the Lord. But he was a man too. He was a human being. And he needed to be in touch with the Father too, even as God's Son. And so he left us an example. It said that he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. He put forth the initiating effort to withdraw and pray to the Father. There are many manufacturing facilities in the world today that have environments that create risk for the safety of their employees if not attended to closely. And so many places in the world give a lot of time and effort and energy to do whatever they can to maintain the safety of their employees. There are many places that spend countless hours and add a lot of people to work on putting in things that protect the employees so that when something bad happens, they're protected. And in fact, put in protection so that that event never happens. And then if it does happen, protections that are in place to keep them from being seriously hurt. Many, many, many hours the world puts in to protect the well-being and safety of their employees. And to do that, there has to be deliberate decisions that are made of things that other things that are necessary to do that you're not going to do. People say, well, what do you want me to stop doing? I mean, all these things are necessary. And you look at them and you say, those are good things to do. Those would be otherwise necessary things to do. However, the most important thing is to maintain the safety and well-being of the employees. Because if that goes out, if your employees go home maimed or lose their life, then everything else you're doing doesn't matter anymore. The world has learned that. Get my point here. The world has learned that. In the temporal life that we live in, corporations have learned that's very important. And it involves setting to the side things that otherwise look like they are necessary and valuable to do, but they do it to maintain the safety of their employees. Well, I want to remain safe spiritually, don't you? I want to make sure that even in the midst of life where it seems like there is so much that presses in upon us, I want to make sure that I'm taking time to pay attention to the most important thing that I can pay attention to, and that is that I remain connected to the Father and spiritually alive. And for that to happen, I too must go to the mountains. I too must go to the wilderness. Sometimes I like to go there literally. But when we can't go there literally, we do that figuratively. We take time to withdraw apart to have some valuable one-on-one time with the Father. And I want to impress that upon us tonight, that if we are not deliberate and intentional about that, we can find our lives pass us by and we can look behind us and discover that we have spent precious little time alone with God. And when we begin to wonder why it is that we feel like we don't have on hand what we need to face life. When I was a teenager, or maybe younger than that, I may not get this exactly right, my mom had a poem on the refrigerator in the house, and it said something like this: I got up one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't take time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me and heavier became each task. Why doesn't God help me? I wondered. He said, you didn't ask. The poem goes on and says a few other things, and it got to the end and it said, I got up early this morning and I paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. And I know tonight that the time that we take to pray may be different for different people. But the point is that God wants us to recognize that He has the answer for us for the challenges and the problems that we're going to meet in the day. And if we will be willing to pause and take time out with our Father, He has something special for us that He wants to give us. And I want to pause right now and say this too. I think of the mothers that are here with their children. And I remember and am at times reminded of it. When our children were small, we had three children at one time, ages 4 to an infant. And so we were busy, and I use the term we rather loosely. My wife was busy. It's a busy time when you're a mother with children in the house. And I want to say this, don't allow the enemy to cause you to feel guilty when you are consumed with the Lord's work in taking care of your children. There is nothing more important for you to do than to be a mother, a godly mother to your children, and be encouraged in that. And there are going to be many times where you're going to feel frazzled, and you're going to feel that you don't have the time that you would like to have to spend alone by yourself for your own sanity and to be able to spend time with the Lord. That's normal. And don't ever let the enemy get you in a place where you are in bondage and you are accused, made to feel like that somehow you are missing it spiritually in life because you're not getting out of the services what you would like to get out of church services. There's probably times when you come to church and church gets done and you wonder why you ever showed up to church, because you spend all of your time paying attention and tending to the needs of your children, which is the responsibility that God gave you. There's going to be many of those times at that stage of your life. And I just want to say that at the outset, that this message in no way is intended to create any sense of guilt or an impossible expectation in that area. You're doing God's work. But I would say to all of us that even regardless of the stage of life that you find yourself in, it just seems like there are always things that consume our time. And if we're not careful, rob us of time that the Lord would like to spend with us. And so I want to encourage everyone here tonight to be intentional with your planning. And you can't always plan when you have children to know exactly what's going to happen. But work with your spouse. Dads, fathers, help your wives out in this area. Be a strength to them. Give them some time by themselves if you can in the week. They need it. And fathers and men, we need the time too, because I found that the workplace doesn't give me the quiet time that I need with the Lord. I've found that the drive home, and I've commuted a lot of my working years, I've commuted quite a ways. And while it's nice, and while our wives would give their eye tooth to be able to commute for 30 or 40 minutes by themselves, there's still something about rushing to work, coming home, that you still need time, men, that you withdraw and have some personal one-on-one time with the Father. We find time for other things. People find time to do the things that they're most interested in. And if we don't pay attention to the most important things in life, then those other things that we have interest in begin to take on diminished value and bring actually less satisfaction to us. I thought about David in the 27th Psalm. He said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord," I think in the fourth verse maybe, third or fourth verse. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." This was David. This was King David, who had a lot of responsibilities in life, and yet he had a desire more than anything else. He wanted to spend time with the Lord all the days of his life. And you can pretty quickly identify what things you desire the most by how you spend your time. Because your time and your energy, they're finite. We don't have infinite time. We don't have infinite energy. We have to make decisions on what we're going to do with the limited amount of time that we have. And David said, "This one thing have I desired of the Lord. Of all else, there's one thing I want to make sure that I get a hold of, and that is that I'm able to dwell in the presence of the Lord." And Jesus recognized this need, even as God's Son, to withdraw from the activity of life regularly and seek to be in the presence of the Almighty God. And I know tonight, as we have said a few moments ago, that there are times of life, stages of life, where we have what I'll call more discretionary time, where you have larger blocks of time where you get to decide what you're going to do. When you're young and you have families and you're working, the children almost decide what you're going to do with your time if you have children at home. And you have less discretionary time to make decisions on how you're going to spend that time. But at all stages of life, we all have at least some, and maybe it's just a little bit, of discretionary time. And I want to encourage you with this, that little can become more with God. That if you give God what you do have, if you have a little bit of time, give God a little bit of time from your heart. And when He sees where you're coming from and sees that you want to serve Him and you want to reach His throne and you're endeavoring to do His will and fulfill the responsibilities of life that He's given you, the Lord can take a little and He can turn it in to much. I remember the scripture, and I wrote it down to remind me, where Joab, when trying to discourage David from numbering all of his people, remember when David was going to go out and number his people, Joab actually tried to discourage David from doing that. And he told David, he said, "The Lord make His people 100 times so many more as they be. In other words, regardless of how many people you have, the Lord can multiply it when you serve the Lord. And you remember the story of the loaves and the fishes. The Lord, when we give Him what we do have from our hearts, the Lord is able to multiply it. And so I just tonight wanted to encourage each one that we do live in a time, as the sister said earlier, where we're facing difficulties in life that I haven't faced before. We're facing challenges. We feel pressed in upon, on top of the normal responsibilities of life. And I believe the return is so great of any time that we give to withdraw apart. Sometimes you're unable to actually withdraw apart. Sometimes you have to lift up your eyes unto the hills in the midst of carrying out your responsibilities. And the Lord hears those prayers. And the Lord can magnify the results of the little bit of time that you're able to give Him. But there is no substitute tonight. There is no substitute for doing what you can to withdraw apart and let the Lord know, Lord, I want to be in Your presence. Lord, I want to give You as uninterrupted time as I can. And if we do this, I believe the promise is left to us in the 27th Psalm, after David had said what he did about one thing he desired of the Lord. The 5th verse said, For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. I want to take time tonight for the Lord. Many things are competing for our time and our interest. And time passes by so quickly. And I want to make sure that when I get to the end of the way, not just when I get to the end of the way, but each day that passes, that I will be faithful before God to come before His presence and let Him know that He is the most important thing in my life. And that I am desperate for His Holy Spirit to dwell in me, to give me the strength that I need to face the challenges in life that are bigger than I am. And I have no doubt tonight that if we do that, the Lord will be faithful to protect and help us, lead us successfully through life to the other side. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.